currently under consideration with respect to what's known as the federal consent decree. It is a court order that arises out of litigation involving the city of Cincinnati, Metropolitan Sewer District, Hamilton County, the Sierra Club, the US EPA and Ohio EPA, Ohio Attorney General, and the Department of Justice. I think I got everybody in there. And Orsenko is involved as well. The Ohio River Sanitary, something. But they're also a party to the consent decree. And it's all about enforcement of the Clean Water Act of 1972 and how, with a stroke of the pen and the adoption of that act, the sewers, a lot of them in Hamilton County, immediately became illegal because they were built to discharge sanitary sewage, wastewater, out into the environment if during periods of rainfall the sewer system was filled up. And so in order to prevent the hydraulics of that from breaking the sewers or causing manhole covers to fly 300 feet in the air or to do all sorts of other bad things, these relief valves were constructed throughout the system, and that was considered state-of-the-art for a long period of time, but in 1972 it all became illegal because of that act. And then we, Hamilton County, the city, MSD, were then under an obligation to eliminate any discharges that were both built and planned that way or any others that had occurred because of cracks in the pipes or in the seams or things like that that were taking place, which are referred to as infill and infiltration. The court order, the consent decree, requires us to eliminate all of those discharges, and we have virtually completed phase one of what's slated to be a two-phased program of projects. Phase two was originally supposed to be underway by now. The city and the county and MSD together negotiated a year's extension on that for the presentation of the phase two program of projects. But during that time period, and right now, we have presented a series of projects called the bridge projects, if you will. So work is continuing, even though there was that delay in time in providing the phase two program of projects. And tonight, we are not only sharing with you what the fundamental elements of the county's phase two program of projects is, but we're also receiving input from all of you around that program of projects. So we're very, very grateful that you've turned out tonight to listen to us, and we are here with very open ears to hear from all of you relative to what has to be submitted. And we are required to present this phase two program of projects to EPA no later than June 30th of this year. So time is coming. It's right around the corner. We do have a plan that we have prepared with the work of an awful lot of people. And if I start naming some, I'll forget others. So forgive me those who I'm not acknowledging personally for all your hard work, but I don't want to leave anybody out. So we want to share that. We have invited representatives from the city of Cincinnati to be here with us this evening, the mayor, the council, the city manager, others on their staff. We have invited MSD, director, deputy director, their staff, engineering folks, to be here. We invited them to our first public hearing on this, which took place on Wednesday, May 30th, and the city and MSD did not appear. We have invited them tonight. In fact, we, with respect to the MSD employees on this, who under the commitment letter agreement that the city and the county jointly adopted back in August of 17, we are at a point now, and through court orders, the relationship has been clearly defined that the county is the principal, MSD is the agent working on behalf of the principal, the city is the agent working on behalf of the principal. So we have called upon them, not just invited them, but called upon them to be here tonight to answer any questions that you might have about some of the technical aspects of this. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't think anybody from MSD is here tonight. And no one from the city is here tonight. And That is an unfortunate scenario, but nonetheless, that is where we are with respect to that. And we do need their help, and we need to work together. I think you would all agree we need to work together. And we're putting together and have put together a plan that allows us flexibility. It allows us the opportunity to introduce what are called green infrastructure or green build elements in the projects that we are presenting that we want to do. They are quicker to build, they are more efficient, they're more environmentally sensitive and sustainable. They save a lot of money on the front end because they're less costly, and they save a lot of money on the back end because they don't capture everything, all the rainwater that does not have to be treated, and then require that to be treated. So there's a lot of money to be saved by doing green build, which we want to do. And we've adopted an approach of a phased approach even within phase two. So the initial phase that we want to do is for 5 years. And the reason for that is there's a lot going on locally and nationally around this issue of sewer. We're not the only ones in a consent decree. There's 781 other cities, counties, and sewer districts that either have a consent decree, are currently in litigation designed to lead to a consent decree, or have been threatened with litigation to lead to a consent decree. So we are not alone, to capture a phrase that's been used in other contexts. We're certainly not alone. So we need to preserve that flexibility to be able to talk about new developments, to talk about affordability issues, and not to be beholden to a long-range plan that would not allow us to take advantage of new developments in science or technology or environmentally sensitive issues and the like that are going on all the time today and moving forward nationwide with respect to this very issue of the Clean Water Act of 1972 and the requirement of local communities to meet the dictates of that. So with that as a general framework or introduction of the issues that are before us why we are here, we do want to share with you what it is that we have worked very hard to put together relative to a phase two plan, and then we want to hear from you on that particular issue. Other commissioners, any opening comments that you would like to make before I ask our County Administrator Jeff Aluto to begin to walk us through the county's work and proposal for a 5-year phase 2A, if you will, initial plan on meeting the dictates of the Clean Water Act. Administrator Aluto.
Thank you, Commissioner. So the easiest way to do this, I think, is I'm not sure if everyone had a chance to pick up one of these documents when you came in. If you did not, Karen, do we have extras? So we still have some if you didn't get a chance. What I'm going to do, I'm going to flip through a PowerPoint, but the PowerPoint is just essentially talking points. And I'm going to walk through essentially page by page of this. I'm not going to go into excruciating detail on it, but just to summarize the high points of the county's phase 2A proposal. This is a complex undertaking, and we can get lost in the forest for the trees if we are not careful. So I'm just going to walk through page by page with the PowerPoint just to give you the high points of the county's phase two. So beginning on phase two, we have an executive summary. Commissioner Fortune laid out most of the background on this himself very, very well. This is what we're talking about, phase 2A here, as opposed to phase 1 of the consent decree, which ends on December 31st, 2018. And that phase 1 is estimated to cost, at the end of the day, $1.51 billion. And that's in current dollars. A lot of times you're going to see some things in 2006 dollars and in current dollars. Wherever possible, we're going to try to present things in current dollars just to make it more relevant to today. This, again, what we're talking about tonight is phase 2A. As Commissioner Fortune also said, the regulators had agreed to a suite of additional consent decree projects called Bridge to get us between phase 1 and phase 2. That bridge work would occur between 2018 and 2020 and be estimated to cost roughly $82.5 million. That is currently pending with the federal court for final approval. Still on page two, the county's phase 2A would begin in January 1st of 2020, and the board proposes that it would last 5 years until December 31st, 2024. Total spending on consent decree and asset management work is expected to be around $600 million in total. And I'm going to break that down a little bit for you. Capital projects and allowances are estimated to cost about $217 million for planning, design, and or construction of 28 projects, and $8 million a year for allowances used across the MSD service area. Now, allowances are just a term used in the consent decree for other things that the regulators allow us to do in the context of the consent decree. So there's different buckets of money in the consent decree for things like home sewage treatment system replacement, manhole lining, different categories of expenses that we know are going to be big buckets of spend that MSD is going to have over the course of the next year. So the regulators in the consent decree put that money into specific buckets that are called allowances. So $8 million a year for those different buckets. We also are adding $9.9 million a year for the sewer backup program, which is required by the consent decree, and $66.6 million a year for asset management. We really need to make that 66.7.
Yes, sir.
Brings the total cost to approximately $599 million, all in current dollars. Phase 2B would begin in 2025, and its scheduling and project list would be due on June 30th of 2023. So we've got Phase 2A, which would run for five years, and then after that, Phase 2B, we would be negotiating the specific schedule of projects and costs, et cetera, for that starting in 2023. On page three, the size of Phase 2A is obviously going to be a function of the community's financial capability. The total estimated cost for all of Phase 2, the entirety of Phase 2, so everything we have left essentially in the consent decree is $3.1 billion. This amount, when we run it through our affordability calculators that EPA provides us, et cetera, is going to show that this is unaffordable. This amount is unaffordable for this community, and it's going to be a high burden for this community economically. So the board's Phase 2A is currently estimated to result in a 5-year cumulative rate increase of approximately 3%. So that's, again, over 5 years, and that's based upon the data that we have now. Certainly, as we get into discussions with the regulators, that could change. If we get new project information, that could change. But right now, the projects that we have laid out and the cost that we have laid out show a 3% cumulative rate increase over 5 years. And that, just to set some context, that contrasts with nearly 8.5% annual average rate increase that we've seen between 2006 and 2015.
Although, Jeff, let me interrupt.
Please.
I do want to note on that, though, that the last 3 years, there have been no rate increases at all. And so our experience, this is one of the reasons why, from the county's perspective, we feel very strongly about approaching Phase 2 in phases itself, Phase 2A, Phase 2B, and providing and allowing for ongoing flexibility as new ways to do the projects that are acceptable or determined, as new legislation is adopted in Washington, as new policy is adopted, and so on. Because when we began with all this with Phase 1 and the original discussions when we first adopted the plan, we were estimating double-digit rate increases every year for the foreseeable future. And we did have some double-digit rate increases for a few years. Then we went down below 10% in terms of rate increases. And then we went down to a point where the last 3 years, there have been no rate increases at all. And it's because things have changed. New ways to approach this have been developed. There's been policy shifts that EPA has adopted relative to the over programmatic effect. So we don't want to lock all of you in to a long phase two commitment in terms of project delivery and cost and expense that does not provide any flexibility at all for us to raise affordability issues or other rate beneficial issues during that entire time period. It's not fair to you. It's not fair to us, but it certainly is not in keeping with what the actual experience has been of projects and rates that we have and you have encountered over the last 10 plus years, as we've seen originally high estimates, we thought, but they went down and down and down to where we've had no rate increases now at all for 3 years in a row. So those facts weigh heavily on our minds and our desire not to approach phase two in a way where we set all of us up to be committed to a program that won't allow us to talk about these issues or reduce rates when it's appropriate or things like that. It would be a benefit of everybody. So, Jeff, go ahead. Hold your question, if you would. We'll get to questions very soon, okay?
So page three, wanted to summarize some of the board's policy goals. Again, $3 billion program. The board has set these goals for phases two, and specifically 2A, to comply with all consent decree requirements while recognizing both community affordability and MSD asset management needs, to protect ratepayers from unaffordable costs, to improve the system by completing the list of consent decree projects, but as Commissioner Portune referenced, creatively adapting them when appropriate to leverage new technologies and better information. To keep phase 2A short, phase 2A will build some major projects, but we want to avoid locking the ratepayer into long-term path of cost for projects that have not been adequately developed or estimated, and plan ahead for phase 2B so the work can continue. On page four, we have a list of the phase 2A projects. So those are also shown on the bulletin boards up here.
You're a hero.
But you will see on page four the actual list of projects. So we have 16 projects at $165 million in current dollars to be designed and constructed during phase 2A. And we have 12 projects to be planned and designed planned and designed during phase 2A, ready for construction to be ready for construction in phase 2B. So again, 16 projects designed and constructed, 12 projects to be planned and designed for construction later on. On page five, just to talk a little bit about some of the key phase 2A projects. The first is construction of an enhanced high-rate treatment system at the Muddy Creek plant, and construction of work at the Little Miami plant to allow an enhanced high-rate treatment system to be built after phase 2A. So design will occur for an EHRT at the Mill Creek plant also. So a lot of work associated with phase 2A of an enhanced high-rate treatment system. Enhanced high-rate treatment system, think of them as smaller, more flexible plants that are designed to very quickly and rapidly treat wastewater and get it back into the system so that especially during wet weather events, we rapidly move water through the system and get it treated so it's not polluting the waterways, but at the same time get water out of the system so it's not backing up where it should be backing up. So these and other phase 2A projects will add significant new combined sewer overflow control and are focused first in the areas that are prone to sewer backups and overflows. Other major phase 2A projects are located in the Muddy Creek watershed on the west side and Mount Washington on the east side. Also on page five, we still have a list of proposed phase 2A projects. This also includes integrated watershed planning to make sure that we are doing this not just on a gray, installing gray pipes, but that we're working to do green infrastructure, that we're planning this with on a watershed-based approach, so that we can use those approaches to help control the amount of infrastructure and gray piping, et cetera, that we have to install both in 2A and down the road in phase 2B. on page 6. I'm sorry, moving this fairly rapidly. We really do want to get to your comments and questions, and just wanted to set this as a baseline for you. On page 6, and also the poster board, show the project phase 2A schedule. Again, these are shown in 2006 dollars. And the phase 2A projects reflect input from MSD and county administration. So we actually have been working, although MSD and the city are not here, we have been working with them to a large degree to at least try to get to a set of projects that we think reflects the views of both MSD, the city, and the county as best as we can. On page 7, we have the vision for the board's vision for phase 2B. And so this would be the time after the next 5 years, so after phase 2A is complete. And the board believes it's imperative that we benefit from the information and lessons learned in phase 2A so that we can right size and right cost the infrastructure that we want to build in phase 2B based upon what we've learned in 2A. It just seems to make sense that we would try to learn from what we've done in 2A and make sure that we're building the right size stuff when we get out to 2B. And that's, as Commissioner Fortune said earlier, another reason why we want this to be a shorter phase, so that instead of locking people into costs and projects associated with a full 10-year worth of projects that we can do 5 years, learn from that, renegotiate with the regulators, and then set a more flexible project schedule for phase 2B. On page 8, we do not have a cost and schedule for phase 2B. But what we do have is a list of the projects that we would envision being a part of phase 2B. Again, these will probably change, likely will change as we get into 2A, into phase 2A, and realize that there's a better way to do something, or by taking some of the water out of the system through a green or sustainable approach, maybe some of these projects don't have to be invested in, as we're showing here. But this would be our vision right now for the projects that would be included in 2B. On page 9, we have some additional phase 2A considerations. That the plan also includes allowances, as I talked about before. It would still include a sewer backup program. It would include asset management for the maintenance, repair, and replacement of the aging MSD system. We get into this dynamic a lot of times where the regulators want us to do things that just deal with the combined sewer overflows and what's polluting the waterways, but we also have a system that we have to maintain. Aging infrastructure that is crumbling, that always isn't directly related to an overflow, so we have to make sure we're maintaining that stuff as well, and that's what we call asset management. On page 10, we have phase 2A rate affordability impact. Again, the point here is that the board's phase 2A is currently estimated to result in a 5-year cumulative rate increase of approximately 3% based upon what we know now. Phase 2 in its entirety, again, is estimated to cost around $2.3 billion in 2006 dollars or $3.1 billion in current dollars, and again, it's unaffordable. Major portions of the MSD service area are suffering due to costs. As Commissioner Fortune said, we've done our best to keep rates flat over the past several years, but rates are still high. So the board's committed to a 5-year phase 2A in order to structure phase 2B with more appropriate information on the financial affordability, but not scheduling that now in 2018. So some of the advantages of the board's phase 2A proposal. Number one, we think it hits water quality improvements, and it provides relief from sewer related surface flooding and sewer backups. It focuses now on the Muddy Creek and Little Miami watersheds, which we know are problematic. Spending, however, will continue on Mill Creek and Ohio River related issues, and needed work will continue to occur on the west and east side, where we know population density is high, residential impacts are significant, and special attention is needed for sewer backup related issues. With the short phase 2A, the board is committed to ensuring that rates will be increased only when necessary and not based upon some long-term projection of what might happen 9 or 10 years out. We want to do it only when necessary. That's on page 12. On page 13, again, we're committed to protecting the MSD ratepayers. Again, the longer that phase 2A is, the more likely it's going to be that MSD rates are raised sooner and or higher than necessary. The long-term phase 2A would, like our 10-year phase 1, lock in projects to be built, even if costs increase significantly or there are better, cheaper methods identified later of getting those projects done. We should learn from the lessons of Phase 2A so that those lessons can be incorporated into Phase 2B. And as we're going through this transition between the city, the county, and MSD, the new director, the new permanent director of MSD, and the citizens board that would be created should also be given a chance to allow their discretion to shape what the future of this program looks like. On page 14, we again talk about how a long-term Phase 2A will limit flexibility. I think we kind of hammered that home. So in summary, the board's proposed Phase 2A plan provides for significant sewer improvements, minimal rate increases, and maintains the flexibility to design a responsible and affordable Phase 2B plan. So I think that is, on a very complex subject, about as quickly as we can get through a Cliff Notes summary of what this plan is, what it means, what the key components are, and some of the key implications for residents. So with that, Commissioner Fortuna, I'll turn it back over to you.
Mr. Andalou, thank you very much. That was, I think, a very concise summary of what we're working on, what we have proposed to do, the reasons why. Hopefully the materials that we have here tonight will also provide additional backup detail to all of you to help answer some immediate questions that you may have. We do want to hear from all of you. I'll just add invite Commissioner Driehaus or Commissioner Montell if there are points that either I have failed to bring forward in the initial summary or Administrator Aluto has that you want to bring forward. Let's just hear from the public now. I have seven cards that I've received tonight. If anyone would like to address us, we do ask that you fill out a card. The reason for that is so that we can, these cards, so that we can make sure that we get back to you with new developments, alert you of other hearings that may take place regarding the issue. On that note, I would like to share immediately tonight, there is another public hearing this week on the Phase 2 issues. It's going to take place this Thursday, June 7th. Thursday, June 7th at North Church, which is located at 422 Hamilton Avenue. 422 Hamilton Avenue, North Church. So again, also at 6 p.m., we'll be convening that hearing. We would encourage that the word be spread about that. We want to hear from as many people as we can, as well as share what we're doing and why we're doing it, the way we're doing it, with as many people as we can as well. And again, our deadline is June 30th to get this plan into EPA, and we want it to be as, to incorporate as much as we can. So, seven cards. I'm gonna ask that folks please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. We usually do two. But there aren't a lot of speakers who have filled out cards tonight, and so we had a little bit more time. We want to make sure that whatever you have to say, that you get it in. We want to make sure if you've got questions that they are answered. I'm going to begin just in the order in which they were given to me. We don't have any microphones tonight, so honestly, you can just speak from your seats if you want. I think that will be fine. It's a pretty close room. We can hear everyone, I think, very well from where you're seated. So if that works for everyone, is that okay if we do it that way? Fair enough. We have Ruth Kreiner, who is our first speaker tonight.
I knew you were gonna call me.
Why not? Why not?
And I will correct you, it is Ruth Kreiner.
Crimer.
My husband is sitting here and he would be very upset.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Forgive me, please. Sorry about that. Yep.
Okay. All
right. That won't count against your time, by the way. Really.
I want to know what is happening with the homes on Muddy Creek. The reason being that the last time our house had the backup, now, the first one was March 1st. The second one was
in your Sunday.
Just for Sunday. The backup was so bad that it came up to the last step before you came into our house from the basement. We lost our furnace, our hot water heater, our washer and dryer, and our electrical panel, because it just completely covered everything. We have not replaced our washer and dryer, but we did replace the other things to a tune of $18,000. We don't have that kind of money,
sure,
you know, to do things like that when we've saved it for our medical expenses, which is the other thing, our medical expenses. My husband and I both have heart problems, and every time it rains, it's like this anxiety, and our heart just doesn't want to handle it, you know? It's like...
I do.
And it's really, really hard. And...
Ruth, let me try to do this, if I can, on your question. First of all, and I'm not, we're going to get somebody to try to respond to it, but I have to acknowledge as well that we had four hearings already on the sewer issues and the claims process and all that. The city and MSD were at those hearings. They are controlling the response to the claims process. It's not a county deal. That's the city and MSD that are responsible for managing and administering all of that. And they were there at the last hearing when you raised these issues, including the medical issues, and heard them. We might have someone here who may have some information about what's going on with that, but we invited MSD to come to the last hearing that we had on phase two, which is what we're talking about tonight. We directed them to come tonight to ask to answer questions that might be raised. They're not here. They're not here, and they should be here. And I'm raising this issue. I'm honing in on that because, and you might say, well, why are you doing that? I'm doing it because, and we're doing it because, they need to be here. They need to be at these hearings. They need to be responsible and accountable to all of you. And not engage in behavior that, and this isn't the you know, the rank and file, the working men and women that are at the city or at MSD. There are people at the top that have made these decisions to take this approach, and they've decided not to show up. All right, so we will take your issue, and others who have claims issues will take down the notes. We'll communicate that to MSD and to the city again. They are controlling that process, not us. They are. We have been asked to make money available. Karen, how much money has the county been asked to provide for this? And we've responded with every request and approved every dollar request that has been made of us. Do you know what the total is?
August of 2016 event, the board has authorized $26 million.
Okay. All right. So we have approved $26 million to address
rate
it's MSD money.
Money.
It's your money. It's rate payer money. But we control the allocation of that, and we've been asked, and we have approved that $26 million is available to cover the cost of all claims that have been raised. I don't have the claims data sheet that we had the last time, but I think the total amount of approved claims, the dollar figure is far less than that. I want to say it was closer to $11 million of approved claims that has occurred so far. So there should still be a lot of money available to address claims and claims issues. I'm taking more time on this than we should, because they should be here and they should have addressed it. And we're going to communicate it to them and do the same thing again. Now, so number one, does anybody know what else, if anything, has happened with Muddy Creek? And then number two, Ruth, I'm going to ask you, do you have anything to comment on phase two and the project list? Because that's really what this hearing tonight is about, is the phase two program of projects that we're required to submit to EPA by June 30th. And we're sharing with all of you what our program project list is. We're inviting feedback back on this. This is not a hearing that was supposed to deal with claims issues, but we'll hear them anyway, all right? But I'm just telling you, MSD should be here, the city should be here to deal with those things. Okay. because they're the ones that are controlling it. So Karen, what do we know about Muddy Creek, if anything?
What do we know a lot about Muddy Creek? Ms. Kreimer, you're talking about the 2017 events, the March and February events in 2017.
Yes.
Did you submit claims to MSD on those two,
I did,
two events?
I did, and they did pay them very quickly.
Okay.
But it's still the idea that every time it rains.
I just wanted to make sure that I understood that
right.
It didn't come out of your pocket to replace what you had requested.
Well, initially it had to come out of my pocket. But they did return.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make sure that that wasn't
right.
Still a problem. So I've met all of you on a few occasions. Never forgot that you have this problem. And to be honest, I think the board has had this in front of them four times to an executive session. They have given direction to the MSD folks to do a few appraisals for the first floor flooded properties, which Heather, you were one of, Mr. Street was one of, and I can't remember the last resident that had the first floor flooding issue. Those authorizations were given a year and a half ago, I want to say. We haven't heard anything back yet on those appraisals. Having said that, in this tonight's packet of information that you've just received, the newest packet, there are projects in Phase 2A that will follow up on some of the projects in the bridge, which is the next 2 years, 18 and 19, or 19 and 20. Intended to relieve or find an engineered solution for whatever we can relieve in the SBU occurrences that are happening routinely on Muddy Creek. Okay, so by that I mean we're going to look at source control where there's a contribution of the Glenway Crossing comes in down there, down on Silved. We're going to take a look at what we can do in that area to retain water so it doesn't hit the system during events. It can bleed in later. We're also looking in other areas for a similar offload of stormwater during events, which should be helpful. In addition to that, we are doing some work down at the HRT facility downstream to see how much more flow we can get through that during an event, so that it doesn't become a hindrance to the water that's flowing through there. All of these things will be done in the early parts of the Phase 2A. So we have to seek an engineered solution first, and if there is something that can't be dealt with after that, we'll have to reassess what more needs to be done.
Yeah, in this projects alone, it's over $84 million of projects we're looking at for Muddy Creek. So we're throwing serious money, $84 million.
Is that included what they're building over there now?
No, this is additional. Okay. These are new projects.
The river at the CSOs that outfall into the river. So the system doesn't have the ability to take the flow that it gets during rain events because it's already full. So we need to make sure that the they call it rain-derived inflow and infiltration for rain events, but it's also dry weather infiltration that we're experiencing in this system, and that has to be dried up. So bridge projects are moving forward in 19 and 20 to dry up the pipes so that more water can get in during those rain events. We're doing the additional work at the HRT to get more flow through that particular facility or divert it around it. So it already diverts, but we think we can improve some of that. And we're getting stormwater out upstream where it's the Glenway Crossing is contributing large flows of that in that particular area.
What do you mean divert? Because Muddy Creek becomes an open sewer. I mean, it's a creek that is a sewer.
There's a pipe system underneath that actually does the divert. Yeah. There's a pipe system.
That's what I want to make sure about.
I hear so bad, but I've yet to hear Codale ever mentioned on many of these meetings. Are you getting the Codale?
Folks, we're going to have some order here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll take questions as they come up.
Yeah,
through the speaker's cards, I think, is what I'm supposed to
do. We've got to do it that way, so thank you very much. Leo Yakutis.
Yakutis. Thank you, sir.
Yes,
Reviewing the cliff notes, as Jeff pointed out, it's very difficult to provide feedback, because the fact sheets just came out last Friday and just a couple minutes before this meeting. I understand part of the reason why it is difficult to get the fact sheets out is a complete lack of cooperation from the MSD and the city, which has worked in bad faith for 10 years.
Amen. Sorry.
That said, one of the most important projects that you do list is Index 215 for the Muddy Creek, but it's out of context. Because the items that are feeding it, some of those projects have been removed from consideration at this point, and rightfully so. But you have systems that are in critical fail that are leading to it, such as what was originally Project 10230135. So you have a whole set of systems leading to the higher flow pump system, but it's in critical. What's leading to it is in critical fail. And this is in the meeting notes from the MSD over the years. We had requests for Freedom of Information Act through CUFA and CERCLA. To that end, in order to make sure that what is being proposed is successful, what we need is that all meetings from the MSD are open, to have engineers in attendance. We heard in one of the meetings, if you pull the notes, that the system is in critical fail. No, it can be lined. No, it's not so bad. No, we're not going to do anything. And the system is actually in critical fail. The next item we have is a revision to the contracts that the MSD is allowed to put out for consulting. They're very heavily consultative reliant. In the contracts, they have language that makes the consultant line items contractual so they cannot be FOIA'd or Ohio Records Act requested. If you're going to be working with an organization that won't sit at the table with you, you need transparency in order to operate. They have no transparency. The third item, the RFQ process for the MSD, allows it to move down to single bidder actions on the RFPs. They released one that was for Lower Muddy Creek. They released it on the Friday before Thanksgiving, closing it the Wednesday after Thanksgiving. We through complaints, we got it to extend four times. But they are self-controlling and self-regulating to who's working on it, and that's affecting your total cost. The last item that I request from this is that the claims process and the data from the MSD is not transparent. The numbers of people who have called and the amount of claims made and the people who have been addressed don't match. Where they're getting their data, what are they providing to CUFA, none of it adds up. The number of calls that actually went in and the number that they claimed and the number that they actually addressed, we cannot get an accurate read on. So until you actually know what is being processed, until you can get reproducible data from an organization, you do not know what they're doing. So there's a 4S that the meetings are open and published. Maybe there won't be a comment period, but they're open and published. That the contractual language changes, so no line items are hidden by consultant. The RFQ process is modified to where it is also transparent, and that we're given access to the full data for what claims have been requested. Thank you.
Can you give us a copy of that? Do you mind, for the record?
It says notes on a page, but yes.
Is that right?
If Mr. Kuhn is willing to do so, sure. Yeah. Do you mind if we
please
make a copy of that, and we can get this back to you, sir, if you like. We'd like to accept these notes and comments for the record of our hearing. You make excellent points.
Yeah.
They are. We've been working on a transition for a while. One of the things that happened is back in February, city manager directed all MSD staff and city staff that were in the working groups on pursuant to the agreement that we had reached with the city August 14th, last year, 2017. The direction was given that those staff level employees around which there was great cooperation with county folks, and we were making a lot of progress, that they could no longer work on the transition process and they would be withdrawn from it all. We tried to negate the impact of that in a variety of ways, culminating in on April 6th, this board sent a letter to the mayor and all members of council urging them to countermand the direction that was given by the city manager, withdrawing MSD staff and city staff participation in those working groups on the transition, and understand, you know, the transition is to get from this hybrid arrangement that we've lived with for 50 years to a scenario where you have a single entity accountable, responsible, where we can have open and transparent meetings, processes, documents that are available for review, et cetera, et cetera. And thank you for acknowledging what has occurred. So we not only sent that letter out, I personally walked to every council office and to the mayor's office on that date and hand-delivered the letter and engaged personally every council member I could, advising them of what was going on, and most claimed that they had no idea that that direction had been given. We recently have renewed the effort to try to get council engaged to get to countermand the direction by the city manager, a new city manager now, on all of this. And here we sit, June 5th, and there has been no action taken to lead to city staff, MSD staff, working with county staff to continue this transition process forward. Thank you for the record. We'll, if you want, we'll make a copy of this and get the original back to you. Thank you. All right, our next speaker this evening is Heather
Blair.
Thank you. I had to put my glasses on, Heather. Sorry.
That's all right. Yep. Firstly, I'm glad I'm following him, but I'm also kind of embarrassed. I am not as eloquent as he, but he brought up a lot of fine points, and I will put them very simply. MSD, if they're in charge, who's in charge of the budget? You know, this upcoming Brit, you know, all this money that's coming in, we're not going to dig into MSD's past history. I'm relatively new back to Cincinnati, and I have seen some stuff, and I'm like, whoa. MSD, isn't that putting the fox in charge of the hen house? If we put them in charge of this money, who's going to control this budget? You know, who's going to make sure that there is accountability? Because you all know where that's led to in the past. I don't know what the final, it just kind of stopped, you know, and I haven't heard anything else. And you know, I'm blown away by what this man said. That's, you know, accountability, transparency. You know, and I know that there were some changes in MSD, you know, that either city council is now sitting on their board or something. It was like maybe in January or something like that. There was a trend. Who's controlling MSD? I mean, they are a private entity, are they not? Are they public?
Public. They're public entity.
Okay.
So we the county board adopt the budget for MSD. But under this agreement that was executed in 1968 that controlled the management and operations of MSD, the city of Cincinnati has been responsible for management and operational issues with respect to MSD. And that's where the rub comes in here. We adopt the budget. We appropriate the dollars that are requested, but when it comes to direct management, oversight, accountability, all those things that get to all the questions that have been raised, that under this agreement has been the responsibility of the city. And we have been at loggerheads for the better part of the last 5 or 6 years. It has never always been great, I will tell you, but it got a lot worse as we got closer to the end of that 50-year agreement. And we're now at a point where you know, we can't get basic data that we need in order to do the things that we are required to do, such as this June 30th submission to EPA, Ohio and Federal, and the Attorney General, the Department of Justice, et cetera. And that's what the agreement that we did reach, and we did. We mediated long and hard. We came to consensus. It was embodied in a commitment letter jointly approved by the city and the county August 14th last year that was supposed to then be transitioned into a final agreement within 45 days. Okay? Within 45 days. And and then transition at a structural fundamental level would occur, and that work was supposed to start immediately and did, and was moving forward until the city manager ordered city staff and MSD staff not to work with the county anymore, and that's where we are still today. Okay, that's where we all are still today on all of this stuff, despite our efforts to try to change that that dynamic. So we're working on trying to change all this, but it is not changed yet. Okay, and honestly, we need your help in terms of commenting on what we need, because June 30th, whether they work with us or not, we owe the regulators a phase two proposal. So we do need comment on that. We need your. That's why we're here tonight, is to receive and talk. But your point's well taken. You know, how can you comment on things when you don't have some of those backups and that's part of what we're all running into as well. Any other comments?
How are you going to resolve that? I mean, what is the solution to bring this to fruition, to bring it all together? I mean, this can't go on forever. Who's the final authority to say, you know, you do your job, you do right. this? What do we take it to next?
Well, it may, and if we can't resolve it on our own, it may end up in court, and that doesn't lead to a best answer for anybody.
At what level?
Federal level. United States District Court.
That's going to cost some bucks, too.
That's where it could end up. But we hope not. We're working to try to prevent that.
It sounds like you guys really are working hard to push this forward and to get things moving. I really do like the idea that you're incorporating green space and, you know, not just everything going through sewage and this, that, and the other. I saw this thing on the police department up in Westwood and how it's a totally green building and they have, you know, spaces, I don't know what they call them, where the runoff is gathered in.
Swales.
Yeah, they did a great job.
That's the kind of it's called green belt, green infrastructure. Those are the kinds of things that we want the authority to be able to do more and more of in response to our compliance with the Clean Water Act. But we need everybody to work together on this. That's what we need. But you're all saying that loud and clear tonight. We're grateful for you. Okay.
Right. One last comment,
yes, ma'am.
And I know I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to address it. Part of the problem with MSD and us over here, the claimants, we're getting treated like redheaded stepchildren. They are, some of the claimants, we have to get in there and fight. I mean, they're depreciated. They don't want to pay for our lawn equipment, which they ruin. I lost my car. I lost everything in my basement. I lived all winter without a freaking furnace. You know, and I had to get into my 401k to buy a car. I am financially devastated by this. I'm still plugging. I'm not giving up. But now they're talking about residual value on our homes. I took the equity out of my beautiful home in Hidden Valley after my husband died, bought this junky little place on Muddy Creek and was grateful to freaking have it. And I was like, okay, I can deal with this. They take out residual value on that house and they buy me out. There is no residual value. I am not taking that loss. I bought that house in good faith. I pay my freaking taxes. They don't bulldoze that house and they think we're going to send it to Metropolitan Housing Authority to put some poor person in there to rent it, and they die, you are never going to hear the end of it. And you cannot put people in, there is no residual value on these homes. I'm not taking that loss. And if I get there, by attorneys, I don't care. This is worth it. I mean, we're talking substantial losses. My claim itself, minus my house, is over $70,000. I have to get in there and fight for that, for the full replacement value of my lawn equipment, my patio furniture, everything that was in my basement. I have not filed my claim. It's been a devastating year for me, getting flooded twice. I've moved 6 times. I want to make sure when I go into MSD that I got some fighting because I'm going to need it. That's all I have to say.
We hear you. Thank you. Thank you. I wish this was recorded.
It is recorded.
Audibly it is. Yes, you're right, Jackie. Yeah, we don't. The video is very compelling as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Robert Buckner.
Yeah, I'm on Muddy Creek. I see all these plans. I see all this money. To me, it's a typical politician's thing. We've been flooded now. We moved in 2007. We had our first flood in 2013. than they have to. So what you're proposing here is to add on to Muddy Creek down there. The problem is the gates down there are manually opened and closed during a storm. And in 2017, we had 2.35 inches of rain. You can check it with the National Weather Service. It flooded at 7 foot of sewage. The year before, we had 8 inches of rain, and it never flooded. Now, how can you get 8 inches of rain and not flood, and 2.5 and flood? It's negligent on MSD and how they operate the system down there. That's what the problem is. You can spend all this money you want. I'm a lifelong construction contractor. All you got to do go back to your subs, say, give me 1% off, and you can buy all of our houses out and tear them down, and we're gone, and then you can do what you want. Let the field flood. Green Township, I understand the answer better, is willing to help purchase us out, Hamilton County, and if you can get MSD, and it wouldn't take any of these, looking at these budgets, you know, $3 billion. We're talking about less than $2 million. It costs you more than $2 million for our claims last year. I mean, does that make sense? You know, take $2 million out of your budget, buy us out, and then you won't have to worry about the claims.
Yeah, the issue of claims and the claims process is a terrible one, all right?
And, well, what and I'm it's saying a, is, I, look, is take, I don't give to MSD $2 million for claims. Give it to us to buy us out and then tear it down, and then you're lessening your budget to MSD because they're going to waste the money anyway.
Well, thank you. And I know, and look, it is not, it's not without precedent that houses have been bought out. We all know what happened on West Fork going back to 1993. I was personally involved in that action as a member of City Council then. Some houses have been purchased. It's not without precedent. We've got it. You know, we know the claims have got to get resolved. If you've been at any of the other public hearings, you've heard us imploring MSD and the city to get to it and get these things done.
Yes.
But that right now is where the responsibility rests. And it's also, honestly, one of the reasons why this transition from the operational status that occurs under the 1968 agreement has got to end. There's got to be a single line of authority, a single owner and manager and overseer and claims determiner and responsible party that does this, so that you can't have this circuitous, nobody's responsible approach that we have today. Yes. And that you're suffering from. And that's what we're moving to try to transition from. But
the whole city's suffering from this.
It is.
It's just not us. It's impacting everybody.
Well, I have my claim resolved for my personal belongings.
Yeah.
I want my house. I want to move.
I understand.
I don't want to live there.
I
don't want to go through what she has to go through every time it floods. Okay.
Thank you.
And they actually made the comment to me after the 2013 flood that I should have never did any work in my basement because I knew it was going to happen again.
This is okay. 2004.
It's been going on longer than that.
I'm 36. It's been going on longer. A long time.
Yeah. We can't even get home on insurance anymore.
Well, look, I don't know what the answer is. We have to follow the law with respect to the acquisition of property. But I'm going to ask our attorneys who advise us to report to us on what are the grounds that need to be established with respect to the ability of MSD and the claims dollars to be used to purchase the homes on Muddy Creek. All right? And we'll get that report completed, and we'll get that to all of you, and you'll see it in black and white, chapter and verse. And if, I don't know what the results will be, but we hear you, we're well aware of what's happened at Muddy Creek time and time and time and time again. And I understand what you're requesting, and I'm gonna ask to see if we can't put the balls in play, then we'll work toward making that happen, okay?
It's MSD, we get it.
I know, but I'm gonna ask that we try to put into play the process that could lead to the relief that you are seeking. And if we can do that, I'm sure that we would all agree that we want to see that done. Okay? All right. Okay. So we're gonna undertake to do that and get that answer for you directly. All right. Teresa Bell. Teresa, hey. Welcome back. Same issue, different location. But you can see it. Yeah.
First of all, I want to thank you guys for holding this forum. I know you're probably hearing a lot of the same things over and over again, but I'm speaking for myself. I really appreciate that you took time to come to the website to hear us.
Yeah.
To hear our thoughts here. So my concern is, and I spoke last week.
I'm sorry, Teresa. This is a brand new phone I got, and I don't know how to turn it on. Oh, thank you. Commissioner Monzel, the handyman, the hero, what can I say? Thank you, Christian.
So, it's my understanding, when I attended the commissioner's meeting downtown last week, that the Muddy Creek facility at the corner of Muddy Creek and Westbourne went online in 2001. Is that correct?
Karen?
I think it was June of 2001 that facility went online.
When?
Roughly that time, yeah, I think it was 2000, 2001.
Okay. My concern, and I understand the plan that you have laid out and what Karen explained, how they're going to try to dry the pipes out so that more of the rainwater, when there's a rain event, will flow. That all makes logical sense. But what concerns me is the fact that they've already spent millions of dollars on that treatment facility, and since it went online in 2001, I have flooded progressively worse and worse. And where I'm coming from on this council is the safety of the residents of all Muddy Creek. Because with every precaution and everything that you are trying to do to get in place, we're all getting the same sewer water. Whether it breached the first floor or not, it's all the same sewer water. It's what level it's getting in our homes. But when we see electrical panels getting submerged, and my electric in my basement getting submerged, my fear right now is that something very bad is going to happen at some point. Someone is either going to get electrocuted. The first time my house drained on its own, the second time MSD had to pump it out, the third time MSD refused to come in to pump it, they made it drain, and it took almost 48 hours in the dead of winter to drain my house. I get it. But at some point, somebody's going to have to start thinking about, is the risk worth it? I understand all the new construction going in, and the philosophy of everything you're doing makes logical sense. And I'm sure that when that facility went online in 2001, it made logical sense. But the fact that everything continues to get worse and worse, I hope we don't see the day that someone either gets electrocuted or very badly injured or a house burns because of the flooding that's occurring.
Yeah.
And that's really the point I'm just trying to make, is I understand the improvements, I get it. I just worry about the health and safety of us.
We, again, to get back to this hearing tonight, we knew we were going to hear a lot of these. We've scheduled the hearings, tried to schedule the hearings geographically spread out, but in particular to ensure that we had one of these hearings scheduled at a location that was reasonably convenient to and near the area where a lot of the sewage complaints were coming from. And so that's why we've got a hearing here tonight, is to be close to that. But one of the issues that was bound to come up, and I think I hear you saying, is that with all these plans, what you're doing relative to phase two, which we are obligated as a matter of law to submit a plan by June 30th, in part what I'm hearing is whatever you do, please make sure that if you're going to spend money on projects, that they're going to be projects that are going to work to resolve these issues, all right? Fix this issue. And, oh, by the way, if you hadn't thought about it already, which actually we have, and we're grateful for you to remind us tonight, this is not just a health issue or a flooding issue or a property damage issue. This is a public safety issue where lives are being put at risk as well, the more this goes unanswered and unresolved. And as a consequence, shouldn't that count for something in terms of what gets done and what's included and what's paid for first in connection with all this? Am I capturing that correctly?
Yes, very well.
Thank you.
It's about public safety.
Yep.
I mean, you can put as many enhancements in place as you want, but at the end of the day, there's going to be consequences. If somebody gets electrocuted or drowned, there's already been loss of life.
Commissioner, from a technical standpoint for the purpose of the meeting tonight,
sure.
This is stating for Karen Ball, she's so focused over the elections, that the run models this time are right. That the run models for the storms were incorrect for the stormwater runoff. Previously, even under older models, they were done incorrectly. You need newer run models. You need run models that account for this, and you also need flood models, which I don't even think exist in most cases. So the run models are wrong. They're insufficient. They're even captured in terms of the model and control on your sheets. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, a flood model. And how are you going to handle the beyond a 10-year storm? Mm-hmm. So you can't handle a 10-year storm now. That's been brought up. Then beyond a 10-year storm, what is your run model, which is wrong previously, and how do you handle the flood model? So from a technical standpoint, getting back to what we have here,
right.
You actually did try to capture that on your fact sheets.
Mm-hmm. We did. We really need MSD's help to make sure our fact sheets are correct as well, as you point out and as others have. The other thing I'm just going to point out, and I don't know if this is included in your comment or not, but what is a 10-year storm anymore? Right? I mean, I know what a 10-year storm used to be. I'm not sure I know anymore because we're having storms every year that are 100-year storms every other year. So what is a 10-year storm these days? And that raises its own host of issues and sets of issues. But thank you on that. And that's a point that will be noted. All right. Bill Tillo is our next speaker.
I mean, pretty much everything I was going to say, they took.
Okay.
But on Robert's point with the money situation, it's kind of where I, not only have our property values gone way down, personally, I still owe $115,000 on that home. I don't even live there anymore. I rent it out just so I can pay a mortgage. It's worth, I'm in real estate, it's probably worth $50,000 because no one will buy it.
Yeah.
We are out so much money. People that don't have someone else that can sign for another home to move, can't move. You can't hold two mortgages when you're making $75,000 or less a year.
Right.
So it's just, we're in such a predicament that there's nothing we can do.
Right.
You mentioned $37 million is allocated for SPU work coming up.
For water and basin, we've the 26
we've
million.
We've allocated $26 million so far for claims since August of 16.
And I know personally in my home back in, I think it was 2007, they spent $65,000 on that program just for my house. Never repaired anything after it was done. I complained. I finally just had to let it go. And it doesn't work. Those pumps they put in, if you're pumping into a sewer that's overflowing anyway, So to me, that's a $37 million waste. Take $2 million of that, switch towards making the green space area right there. That's over 4 acres that they can the county or MSD could use for just $2 million.
Well, we're going to count you as another voice in support of what I've asked that we work on tonight and see if we can't get started and get it done, which is to introduce the move to allow for claims dollars, ratepayer claims dollars, to be used to deal with purchasing the homes and this problem that you're all raising here tonight.
Phase two, like you said, this is more about phase two. It's kind of a band-aid to me. They did a band-aid once years ago. It didn't work. It made it worse.
Well, phase two, understand, though, is more than Muddy Creek.
Right.
All right.
Well,
phase two, what we have to submit and what we presented here tonight, phase two is about all the work that we have to do to meet the dictates of the Clean Water Act of 1972 as embraced by the court order that was issued on Hamilton County, the city of Cincinnati, MSD, to fix this sewer system so that you don't have any wastewater that is discharged out into the environment. I mean, I'm simplifying things quite a bit, but that's in general what the order says, and that's what we're under an obligation to do. So we're just about done with phase one. We at a cost of $1.51 billion. We've got the bridge group of projects that we are in the process of working on, and then we've got to lay out all the phase two projects that ultimately will cost several billion dollars from start to finish to fix up the system as a whole, and we've got to submit to EPA by June 30th. What our approach is in beginning to address what phase two is for the whole system, and Muddy Creek is a slice of it. So to the extent that there are projects in phase two that could address and resolve the Muddy Creek issue, they ought to be in there because it's an issue of some time urgency and sensitivity and for all the other reasons that have been expressed. If it's more of a claims issue arising out of all the flooding you've experienced and needs to be resolved that way and resolved in a claims approach, that's what I'm asking us to look at and see if we can do. Outside of, however it falls out, the phase two process. Tonight's hearing is about phase two, which is fixing up the whole system.
So all right,
the whole system. We've had four hearings on claims already, and that's what we scheduled to hear on claims. We worked with and encouraged MSD and the city to resolve the claims. They haven't done it. They should be here tonight to answer your questions. They're not here. We're going to still take all this stuff to them. But understand, tonight's hearing is about phase two. We're not saying we won't listen to you because you're here. And we're going to work on addressing claims issues if we can, because everybody, you took the time out to be here. Of course we're going to listen to you. We're going to try to work it out. You know, it needs to be resolved. But we also need to meet this obligation regarding phase two. So I don't know if I've muddied the waters or if I've made it clear.
Can I just offer something? So this is about phase two. We've had some other hearings about SPUs. We're talking about two different things here. And I think we just need to do a cost analysis on what's been spent on these properties versus the value, the current value, and what is, and we just need to do that. And we can ask the city to run those numbers. I think that makes a lot of sense. The other thing, though, I think it's obvious to some of us who've been looking at a lot of these documents for a while, but maybe not so obvious to others, is that Muddy Creek is a very high priority in phase 2A. And so we've heard the concerns, we've heard about the flooding. I know the West Price Hill issue intimately as well. And so we've listened and said we need not only to have a hearing out here, but we need to prioritize this project. And so that's what you see, or that's what
is in the Phase 2A. So I just do want to note, because there are other really large projects in the county that all, there are other problems, problem areas in the county, but Muddy Creek has become a very high priority for the commission.
Thank you.
Can I add something? I just asked if I could.
Sure.
We have asked for the cost-benefit analysis. It's been about a year now.
Yeah.
From MSD on the properties on Muddy Creek. That's something we still haven't seen yet.
Surprise. Sorry.
So having said that, I mentioned that the board authorized moving forward with the appraisals on the three properties for sure that were, you know, first floor flooding. I don't want that to get lost. It's not that we haven't already been working towards the goal. The suggestion was made we needed to try to find an engineered solution. We're trying to do that. We're looking to see what that costs versus to Mr. Buckner's point, what it costs as an alternative.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we really are and have had a lot of dialogue about the conditions of Muddy Creek and the number of Muddy Creek residents that are impacted. So it's not been quiet about Muddy Creek at the board level.
All right. Jackie Greer.
Oh. Hi. And I want to thank you for all the work you're putting into Phase 2 and having the meetings. That's great, and you can rank me as another person who is disappointed in the lack of cooperation between the city MSD and the county. My only comment on that is it seems like you guys control the money, and if you control the money, seems like you maybe can have some more push with them. So I live in the Lovan area. In Phase 2, when you look on the map, it shows Ludlow Run as completed in 2004. Well, that's a piece that ran through the Spring Grove reforestation area. There's no homes there. It's forested. You know, I'm always glad to separate sewage from rainwater. It's great. It's a good hiking area. I have property that's up in the Ludlow Run area. We have CSOs that don't have valves. We have yards and houses that flood with poop, sewage.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting.
Yes.
And I don't see anything on Ludlow Run. In Phase 2, and I'm wondering what are mine and my neighbor's options if nothing happens on our end of the block during Phase 2.
Are you in the Spring Lawn area?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
Karen, so she had a question about Ludlow, Spring Lawn, that there's nothing in Phase 2 regarding that area?
There has been discussion with, I want to say, Ms. Kissel.
Yeah.
And I know that Brian Rush from MSD went out and spoke with her and noticed that the trash rack had been cleaned. To some extent, the Ludlow Run issue is a purely stormwater issue. Having said that, there is a trash rack at the CSO, the mouth of the CSO that was clogged up, which could have essentially caused some of the most recent flooding in that area. He was going to make sure, and
CSOs,
right? And the nested CSOs, if we separate those, it's going to cause more of a problem downstream. So the way that the plan is proposed by MSD. And it's a very about 5% planning level work has been done on that so far. So to say that we have an idea of what the right solution is for that without causing more problems, we don't right now. But I do know that the trash rack at the bottom was known to be a problem in the most recent events. And with the change of about a year and a half, 2 years ago, SMU split from MSD, stormwater management utilities split from MSD. They used to have like regular work orders for the cycle for cleaning those areas that are prone to having trash and other debris collect in the trash racks. And that may have been a little out of sorts when they transitioned to Waterworks about 2 years ago. So Ryan was going to go back and take a look at what the cycle was and see what could be done to get it more on a regular.
Oh, there's like the ditch that it all runs through our yards and floods the houses is really inadequate to hold. It's a ditch. It
but,
just
and,
overflows.
And to do the nested CSOs at the top, which was the proposed first steps, would cause more problem downstream, and we didn't want to be pushing the overflow downstream further without understanding what's really going on in that area. So it's not that it's not being looked at. It's mm-hmm. It didn't make our phase 2A, and it may or may not make the phase 2B, but what we know right now doesn't tell us that we have a plan that would work.
I guess I don't understand why fixing the CSOs to have valves and prevent the sewage from going into the stormwater would make the problem worse. But
I don't know that that was, I can't speak to that
okay.
right now. I don't,
so I don't,
exactly
I don't understand what you're saying.
I think the simple answer tonight, Ms. Grewer, may be that we need to get more information, and that's the benefit of this hearing. We've laid out what we have preliminarily put together. You've raised an issue that I'm not sure we have an answer for you on. We're going to need to look at that and get an answer, and whether that affects what we've put together or not, we'll have to get back to you on. Okay? But thank
sure
you for raising
other
it.
There are communities that aren't going to be involved in phase two, and what are for the people who are still affected, things aren't resolved by phase two. What are our options? That would be my question.
Well, what we've laid out is a phase 2A with a vision for how what phase 2B may look like, and there and what those projects might be. But we haven't finalized what a phase 2B is. But the intent of this is that everything that we're required to address will be addressed, and honestly, everything that has to be addressed, we will address. Okay? So, it's simple answer to that, I think, is that whatever areas people think should be a part of, should have projects related to them that are not covered, we need to hear from people as to what that is. Okay? Thank you. All right. Marilyn Wall is our last card, fittingly. Marilyn, welcome.
Thanks. I'm going to make comments Thursday, partly because we have a lot of the information info tonight.
Sure.
And, got the notice late. But I hope before we put through big, we will be able to put this audio recording online.
I don't know. I'd probably have to get some high tech person to get that
Chris.
Done.
Chris,
yeah, maybe Chris. I've not done that yet.
One of many things that strikes us is that the basement backup should be a priority for the projects, not just household individual projects, but bigger projects that actually solve the problem. It's not real clear at this point just now what much that phase two plan will multiply, which by basement backups. And also, because a lot of people brought up the property values issue, one of Judge Spiegel's rulings was about MSD having to pay for diminution of property value. And so, if anybody wants to talk to me, I'll be with the court order that says that. Might help. I've got a lot of concerns about the way you're describing the affordability issue. You know, MSD rates have been very unaffordable for our low-income people for a long time already. And another 3% raise, even though they get to that, is not going to help them all that much. And if you promise to study things, you promise to enact some things like stormwater regulations that would have people who are putting a lot of stormwater into the combined system who aren't paying for that now, that they start paying for it. We need to do those things. We need and have gotten it done already, and have discount rates for low-income people so that they're not continuing to have to deal with high sewer rates. There are many problems with the structure of the system, not just a total bill, or fixing all these problems. I'm really concerned about the way some of the things are phrased in your plan. You know, you got a lot of talk about green infrastructure. You're talking about green infrastructure and all the Washington talks to EPA and the Congress members about green infrastructure. But we don't have a single IWAP plan. And I know I'll hear that it's all MSD's fault. And we've been hearing that for decades now. It is well past time to address the fact that this agreement that we have, the agreement that's proposed, is not working. The projects that you have out here don't indicate what the environmental benefits are going to be. Certainly for some, there will be some. But it's not a performance criteria. I don't know how you design a project and cost out a project if you don't know what the criteria is that you need to meet. It is simply unenforceable, and I don't really see how EPA can adopt a plan like that without those kinds of specifics. In the 2006 plan is inaccurate as it were at the time, but it is very frustrating that we still do not have accurate model information. Talking again about how the model will be revised, and we have a right-sized grant infrastructure projects. I brought a copy of some of MSD's very similar claims from 2013. You know, it's, if I sound frustrated, I am. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. You have a lot of cards for me. Get that scoping result as us and get a copy of the phase two plan when you can put it out. It's more than just, I guess, the lack of cooperation from between the MSD and the county. And there are going to have to be more things that you can do to address these issues to get this problem solved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marilyn. Ms. Walsh, card is the last one that we have received tonight. I want to thank all of you for coming out this evening. I think we had a pretty engaged conversation, and it is informing and has informed our work and what we have to do still over these next 25 days from today to June 30 with respect to the phase two submittal that has to be made. There remain all sorts of other issues with respect to MSD, the claims processes, the ongoing management of existing assets, the transition of MSD from being a city managed and operated entity to falling under a new approach, as was worked out, was agreed to almost a year ago. But the transition process has been undermined because of steps that have been taken that we are working actively and aggressively to address. And so that more on that is going to surface coming up. We're not sitting on that issue at all, but we need to resolve quickly. And when I say that, I think we're looking at within 10 days or so that there will be more effort taken directly to try to address the cooperative relationship issue. But you know, those things fall outside directly of the public hearing tonight, which is about phase two and what needs to be in phase two. So we're grateful for what you've offered this evening. Thank you very much. We have another hearing 2 days from tonight, June 7th at North Church, located at 422 Hamilton Avenue, starting also at 6 p.m. Comments by members?
Thank you for coming out. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming out. We really appreciate it. Taking time.
With that?
She had her hand.
Yes.
One more question.
Of course.
When are we going to know if the EPA approves this? Are you going to roll it out to us when it's approved? Are you going to, how are you going to notify us how this is if it's moving?
Yeah. Well, first they're going to have to notify us, of course, but I'm going to yield to Jeff or Mark Norman in the room as to the process on, we submit, what's EPA then going to do?
So there'll be a submittal. We have a submittal deadline of later on this month that will then spur a series of negotiations between the county and the city and the regulators over what phase two A will ultimately look like. Mark, you've been involved in those in the past. The typical timeline of those negotiations have been,
I don't want to give an estimate because I don't know a lot of it to work things out, but the county has its own website on MSD matters in addition to whatever MSD has. And the county has been asked to post it. Those are new events, documents, approvals as they come up.
So, it's not Amazon Prime.
So they're not going to make like a public announcement, or you're not going to like hear about what you guys are doing on NPR all the time. They're not going to make it like it's been approved.
We don't know how they're going to announce it. When they announce it, EPA.
Okay.
You know, whether they approve, disapprove, we don't know how they're going to do it, and frankly don't know when, and our legal counsel is I think properly cautioning putting any time estimate out there, because once you do that, then
people
expect it to be with that time, and if it's not, then it's you told us it would be done, and it's not done, and so understand that. But when we hear, we will let it be known, okay? And that's
there were announcements for phase one. I would expect to be announcements whether the news be picking up or not.
We'll put out our announcement. Yeah, we'll
does the city submit their own to negotiate with, or?
Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
The city is the agent of the county on this issue, as is MSD. And the proper way in which this works is that there is one submittal. Okay. All right. Thank you all very much. I will move that we close the public hearing.
Mr. Driehaus? Ms. Fonzo?
Yes.
Ms. Fortune?
Yes. Thank you again.
Thank you. Hey, no problem, buddy. Hope that helped. Thanks for coming out.
I'm going to email you that clause contract that's giving me heartburn.
Yeah, sure.
What's that, Ben? Oh, okay. Yes.
Because what it allows is for any probable costs or any liable costs, it's considered a contractual matter, so you can't see it. So if it's
I get you.
So it's one of the things where you're going to have to.
Do you know my email address?
What now?
You know my email address?
I have your email.
Okay, good.
But no, if you can't see what you're doing, then
I agree with you.
So, but having the exact wording, they have one article.